Well, I don't have any special videos. I don't have any drama this morning. But what I do have is something interesting. This is a, you know, God's timing is so perfect. This week, it's something's happening on Tuesday of this week. And I was reminded the other day, someone said, oh, I'm going to be doing something starting this week. And I'm going to quit drinking coffee. I said, well, why are you going to quit drinking coffee? Well, because it's Lent. I'm not a big religious guy. I mean, I grew up, in fact, until not too long ago, I thought it was called Lent, okay? I'm not a big religious guy. I mean, to follow the traditions of the church, okay? And that is a tradition of the church. It actually started a long time ago, and in America we celebrate it. It's 200 years old that an event has been going on. Tuesday is known as Fat Tuesday. Fat Tuesday, punchkies. Punchkies. I couldn't even spell it. I was typing it this week. P-U-N-C-H. I'm with you. I'm with you. I typed in punch key. Worked for me, and my computer's smart enough to go, hey, dummy, it's not spelled that way, and says, do you mean P-A-C-Z and a bunch of other vowels and things, or consonants? Punchki. I never knew what a punchki was till 14 years ago. A punchki. I had to look it up to see where did this, what is this, and where did it come from? You know, that's interesting, a punchki. I now know how to make punchkis. A punchki on Fat Tuesday. I've eaten them. One. I can do about one on a Tuesday, and that'll last me till about next winter. Here it is. Total fat, 71 grams. Saturated fat, 38 grams. Monounsaturated fat, 22 grams. Polyunsaturated fats, 5 grams. Trans fat, none. See, it's healthy. Cholesterol, 1,078 milligrams. Punchki, more like heart attacky. Potassium, 543 milligrams. Sodium, 1,577 milligrams of sodium. Why don't you just grab the salt shaker, open it up, and pour it down? Total carbohydrates, 189 grams. Magnesium, 63 milligrams. Dietary fiber, 6 grams. Sugar, 38 grams. Protein, 38 grams. Total calories, 1,579. So this Tuesday, on Fat Tuesday, there's a reason for it. There is a reason for it, and here's the reason that we do it. Because it's Fat Tuesday, which is the day before Lent begins, which is, by the way, the 40 days by which we sacrifice religiously things in our lives to show God that we care. And so the day before we care, we call it Fat Tuesday. Really? Hey, God, hold on before I diet. It's Fat Tuesday, and tomorrow must be Skinny Wednesday. Fat Tuesday is a translation from a French word that we've been celebrating in America for 200 years. It's called Mardi Gras. That's what it means. Mardi Gras, translated, is Fat. I thought Mardi Gras was translated big party. It's Fat Tuesday. I did not know that. That was news to me, unless I got some bad news. Mardi Gras. What is Mardi Gras? Mardi Gras is a time where it's no longer one day. It's this week to 2 week long celebration of complete indulgence of mankind before we have to go into 40 days of being religious for God. That's what it is. It is, I've got to go get it all in because Lent is coming. And Lent means I got to do something religious. Lent means I got to do something for God. So Fat Tuesday is your last shot at complete and utterly indulgence and sinfulness into your bodily 1,579.1 calories. Have two. Have two, because I probably will if I could. I can't get through one. In fact, when I'm done eating one, I have to ask myself the question, what have I just done to myself? And I think about the scripture this morning where Jesus said, pray this way, and lead us not into temptation. Because you're going to see that thing, and I don't know if you're going to think about it now, you're going to look at that thing, you're going to say, 1,500 calories, 1,000 grams of 1,500... And you're going to look at that thing and, don't tempt me. What tempts you? What tempts you? You know, it's interesting that the scripture, Jesus said, pray this prayer in the Lord's Prayer. Pretty important. Lead us not into temptation. And yet our text this morning says, and the Spirit led Christ. I thought we were supposed to pray, lead us not into temptation. So, if we pray that prayer, does that mean God's supposed to keep us from being tempted? You know, every human being is tempted. The Bible says in the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, I love this verse. It says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Every man is tempted. And I love this. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And He will provide, when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up to it. So here's the deal. Every single human being is tempted. So why would Jesus say, pray, don't, Father, lead us not into temptation. And yet in Luke chapter 4, I believe verse 1 says, and the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness where He was tempted for 40 days and for 40 nights. So, don't lead us, Father, but You led Jesus into the wilderness. So here it is. I looked up the word temptation and I thought, well, maybe the word temptation means that Satan is doing something bad to us. And what I found was very interesting. The word temptation is neutral. It has no moral connotation. It's not good and it's not bad. Temptation has, it's neutral. Isn't that interesting? Every one of us is tempted. It's what happens to us that determines whether God is leading us or the devil is destroying us. Let me say that again. It's how we respond in the situation that determines whether God is leading us or whether the devil is destroying us. In other words, if temptation is neutral and God lead us not to temptation, what it means is, God, don't let me fall into sinful temptation. Don't let me fall into the devil's trap. Don't let me give in to that which would destroy my life. But God, You're going to lead me at times in my life into places where I'm going to be tested. Interesting. Tested and tempted. Do you know the difference between the two? Because if I'm being tested and I fail, isn't that sin? When I fail a test with God? God is testing me. I don't want You to touch this. In other words, who put the tree in the garden? Wasn't it God who put the tree in the garden and said, don't touch that tree? I'm testing. Did He tempt him? Well, no. Was he tempted? Yes. The devil comes along, same situation, same neutral word, same tree. God said, don't touch it. The devil said, eat it. Same situation, was neutral. God was leading it there for our goodness so that we would have free will and the ability to love. The very idea that God would place a choice before us was the very idea that you and I have choices. Take that away, and we are no more than a robot, a plant, or an animal. We no more have the moral capacity of a choice to truly love one another as much as we could truly hate one another. Does that make sense? The idea that God placed it there was not for our destruction, but it was for the greatness that you and I can choose to love, and how great you and I can choose to love. We have the capacity to go even greater and deeper by our choices. But on the other side, we also have the capacity to fail. And the devil comes along and he tempts us, same neutral word. And he comes along and says, eat that which God said not to. Not a big deal. Don't tempt me. Now, I have not been tempted like Christ has been tempted, but this morning I want to talk about how to overcome temptation. Because if God says, pray, our Father, help me, lead me not into temptation. It doesn't mean I won't be tempted. You and I are tempted every single day. You and I are tested every single day. So how can you and I overcome temptation that we don't give in to sin? And I want to talk about being Fat Tuesday. In other words, Tuesday, my question to you is this. Is Tuesday your last day of sinfulness and you're going to make a vow to do something over the next 40 days? Is there something in your life that you're going to do to say, all right, I'm going to now over Lent do something in my life to show that I have strength to overcome temptation? That's basically what Lent is, a time to prove yourself. Now, if you choose to do that, God bless you. I think we should prove ourselves every day. But this just happens to be there as a reminder to do that. I find it to be ironic that our society is so self-indulgent that we created a Fat Tuesday or Mardi Gras to go just before the religious holiday. I find it to be ironic that we want to get as much as we can before we have to give as much as we can. What is it that God wants us to do? Well, I want to talk to you about this morning how to overcome temptation. You know, there's only three temptations. If you want to write this down, people say to me, you got to help me out. I'm struggling with something. I always go down to this. You might be struggling with something, and every one of you have your struggles. We all have our temptations. Can I tell you there's only three things that the devil has in this world? Three things. And if you want to write these down, you can. Whenever I do counseling, I try to get it right down to the root cause. People say, well, I struggle with smoking. I struggle with my thoughts. I struggle with drinking. I struggle with this. I struggle with my tongue. Whatever it is. And I say, you know what? Those are your surface issues. You know, the devil, he hasn't been reinventing sin and temptation. He's only got three. Here they are. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Look at what happened in this story here. Look at what happens in this story. I love this. The devil comes to Jesus and he says, look, you've been, and I love this, Jesus has been hungering for 40 days. 40 days. If you've been fasting for 40 days, you're going to be hungry. And he comes and says, hey, you're hungry? Why don't you turn this bread or this rock into some bread? You could do that. He says, hey, how would you see all these kingdoms? How about you bow down to me and I'll give you all these kingdoms? And then he says, hey, you know what? I'll tell you what. How about this? And he just keeps bringing it and bringing it and bringing it. But you know what? I found this interesting in Luke chapter 4. It's the exact same thing that he brought in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, the devil shows up on day one to Adam and Eve, and he says the same temptations. 4,000 years later, he's doing the exact same three things. I mean, Adam and Eve are standing there, and he looks at Adam. He says, hey, you hungry? He says, sure, I'm hungry. He says, would you like something to eat? Sure, I'd like something. He says, why don't you eat that fruit right there? He says, oh, no, I can't eat that fruit. He said, look, it's pleasing to the eye. Ooh, it's good to taste. Go ahead and take a bite of it. Wouldn't it taste good? And it will make you wise, knowing good from evil. Isn't that interesting? Genesis chapter 3, you have the lust of the eyes, you have the lust of the flesh, and you have the pride of life. He does the exact same thing 4,000 years to Jesus. Jesus comes along and he says, hey, you see these things? Wouldn't you like to taste these things? Wouldn't you like to prop yourselves up and be like God? Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's interesting, the Apostle John writes these words the Apostle John writes this in 1 John 2:16. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he's done, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the flesh, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting, the pride of life, of what he has done, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The devil has not gotten anything new in 6,000 years. Do you know every sin that you can think of will fit under those three categories? Lust, bitterness, and pride. The root cause of every single thing. So how do you overcome these things? How do I overcome these desires in my life? Well, here it is. I want to talk to you about just basically there's three common sins, so let me give you three ways that Jesus teaches us in this passage to overcome sin. And a way to help you out this morning is this. Let's become fat Christians for God, okay? So if you want to write that down, somewhere in your notes, you write down and say, today, I'm a fat Christian, all right? I know Fat Tuesday's coming up. Well, it's time to go ahead and be fat, all right? The first one is F. Follow the leading of the Spirit. That's verse 1. Follow the leading of the Spirit. If I'm going to overcome temptation, I need to be led by God. I'm going to follow His Spirit. You know what's amazing to me is God will actually lead me into a wilderness to be tempted. Now, God did not do the tempting. The devil did the tempting, okay? Remember, God led Jesus in the wilderness for what? He led him in the wilderness to follow the Spirit of God. Folks, if you're going to become that kind of Christian that God's looking for to change your world, if you're looking to overcome the things in your life, you've got to be willing to follow the Spirit of God wherever He leads you. Amen, Pastor. Amen, Pastor. Wherever He leads me, wherever He leads you. What if God leads me into a place? Listen, God's will never take you into a place where God's grace won't sustain you. See, if God's going to lead you there, His grace is going to sustain you there. God never leads you in a place where He doesn't give you the power and the ability. I've met with families in some of the most tragic situations I can imagine. And you know what? I'm in there to comfort them, and they comfort me. God has given me a peace and a joy like I can't explain, Pastor. I don't know why this happened, but I just want you to know God's grace. In fact, I watched a video, I almost showed it this morning, of a man who's 32 years old, got cancer, got married, 3 kids. He was a tech for a church, and he felt called into his life. He started attending seminary, and they gave him the news, you've got cancer. He made a video, and he said, it was the greatest gift God has ever given me. I'm looking at this guy going, you have got to be kidding me. The greatest gift God has ever given. He said, I'm a better father. I'm a better husband. I'm a better man, and I'm taking a hold of life like I have never taken a hold of life. A year later, he passed on. Within 1 year, that cancer had taken his life. But in that, he spoke very clearly about the gift of God being cancer. Now, I don't understand that. I've not walked that journey. But you and I have walked other things where we have to ask questions. If we're going to be that fat kind of Christian, if we're going to be that faithful, available, teachable, if we're going to be that follower of God, then we got to be willing to do this. And the Bible says, I don't know about you, but if you're hungry, the last place I want to go is where there are no restaurants. And it says he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. Well, I guess if I'm going to fast for 40 days, this is going to make fasting a whole lot easier. There's no food out here. I guess I can do this. No, that's not the point. God led him into a place that was very difficult. And I look at that and go, how in the world can someone do something? Because God was saying, my son, you're about to go through something that you have never imagined. He was about to go to that cross in just a few years. And so him going to that wilderness was preparation. Because in his flesh, and here it is, the first thing is, if I'm going to follow the Spirit, then I'm not going to follow the flesh. Because we tend to follow the flesh. I'm hungry, feed it. I've got these thoughts, fulfill them. I want this, smoke it. I want this, drink it. I want this, say it. I'm angry, punch it. We tend to follow the flesh, and I'm telling you, the flesh craves attention in our world. Are you following me? We live in a world that if we could follow, and God is saying this, be led by the Spirit. Follow, that's your first letter. Follow the Spirit. We want to follow the flesh. That's where temptation wins. When I give into my flesh, and I tell you, my flesh is deceitful. My flesh isn't always honest. I'll eat a big meal. I'll go to Olive Garden or somewhere, and I'll start putting down I'll get the tour of Italy. It's got the lasagna. It's got the chicken parmesan. It's got the fettuccine alfredo. I love the tour. Some of you are nodding your head. You know just what I'm talking about. That's my order when I get there. And you know what's amazing? You eat that plate, and I'm telling you, there's some calories in that. I'm so stuffed, and my tongue is going, well, I really want some more. And they bring that bread, that endless bread, that Italian bread that's buttered. Forget about the punchkis. That bread will get you. And you eat that bread, and you eat that bread. Your stomach's saying, stop it, right? But your mouth is saying, just one more bite. And you know what? Our flesh, listen, God says, be led by the Spirit. Somewhere your spirit's got to go, hey, stop eating. This is going to hurt later on. Right? Somewhere the Spirit's got to crouch, stop drinking. You're going to pay for this somewhere. Stop messing around. This is going to cost you. Stop doing this. And Jesus says, get led by the Spirit. The Spirit is leading us out into tough places. Why? Because we're training our spirit to win. I'm training myself to be victorious in my spirit, not in my flesh. I can be victorious in my flesh, trust me. I've got the means to eat every day, all day long, if I want to. We live in America. That's not what I want to do. We have the means to sin all day long in America. I don't want to do that. I want to walk in God's Spirit. And so I don't want my flesh to win. So I'm going to say no to the flesh. You see, within us, we were all born with this thing that J.R.R. Tolkien, who really mastered this in one of his allegories, known as Lord of the Rings. He tells us so perfectly where a young hobbit by the name of Frodo Baggins discovers something, that within every human heart, there's a ring. And that ring will be your Lord, and it will dominate you. It will call you by name. Every one of you have that ring within your heart. And if you allow it to dominate your life, you were born with that ring. You were born. The Bible says, King David says, I was surely from my mother's womb, I was a sinner. We are born in sin because of Adam's fall. And that ring, and I love it. That movie, that book, that series captured it. Tolkien captured it when it said, it will call you by name. And it wants you to put it on. Sin will call your name, and it will call you. In fact, James chapter 1, verse 14, the Apostle James wrote this long before Tolkien was ever born. Look at what the Scripture says in James 1, 4. Each one of us is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Well, it goes on in the next verse, very clear, it says, do we have the next verse? I can grab it. It says, each that then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. I've shared this before, that what James is talking about right there is each one of us when our own evil desires. In other words, we're sitting under a rock. It's a term that they understood as fishermen, the different Greek translation. It says, each one of us when our own evil desires. It says, we see this shiny lure out there in the water. If you've ever been trout fishing, and the trout sit underneath a safe haven. They sit under a rock somewhere that overhangs the water, and they just sit in their little cove, all safe under the rock. And somewhere along the line, this lure is dropped into the water. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, and each one of us, when our own evil desires, kind of looks and goes, shiny. That's what the ring does. That's what sin does. The flesh calls out. That's why we got to be led by the Spirit. It says once it conceives, once it bites into it, you get a fish on the line and watch it go. It's interesting. I've shared this before. I don't want to spend a lot of time here. You can go back and look at the early notes or listen to the sermon early on. It says, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. This term is very clear, and it describes it. Reading the commentaries on this Greek translation, it says this. It's like a guy looking at a trap. Now, some guy has set a trap out there, but on top of that trap is a punchki. And it sees it and says, oh. It says, you're looking around from behind the tree. There's no one in sight. I'm going to go get that. And that's what temptation is. It says, the desire conceives. It gives birth to sin. It says it comes over here and it grabs it. That's what it's saying. I've left the safety. I've left the safety of the rock in my life. I've walked out from under the umbrella of God's protection. And because of my own desire calling me out, I have now left and I'm walking out of the umbrella of God. I am now in the world and I'm about to get snatched. And when it says it conceived and gives birth, the term that I read from commentators from hundreds of years ago said, it's like the devil, it's like this predator sits behind a tree as he's watching his trap, and as the prey comes in and grabs it, it says he pounces upon it, and it's actually translated in your Greek, you see, you don't get this in the NIV. You don't even get this in the King James Version. But the original Greek actually translates it this way. It says, it doesn't say he pounces upon the prey. The Bible actually is literal. It says he rapes the prey. You see, that's what happens when we follow the flesh and we don't follow the Spirit. It says the devil actually pounces upon it, to use our phrase. And you understand what the literal translation. You know what's amazing about that? It says then it conceives and becomes full grown and gives birth to death. Again, the translation is that you now have conceived within you the birth of that sin of having been pounced upon. And it's the only place it's translated. The word death here is not muerte, which is the Spanish translation of death. It's actually the word, it's the only place in all the Bible where it's used. It's the word abortion. And you will, and it says, if when it becomes full grown, this sin, it's aborted. In other words, it's ripped to pieces before it can have life. Wow. Sin. That is a horrible, horrible thing. I don't want to give in to temptations. No wonder why Jesus was led into the wilderness for 40 days, and when he was hungry, the devil came and says, "How hungry are you? Lust of the flesh." He goes, "I haven't eaten for 40 days. He goes, "I know who you are. Want some bread? I know you can do it." He goes, "I know I can do it." And I love his answer. I love his answer. It gets us to the second thing about being a fat Christian. I want to follow the Spirit, not the flesh. And the second one is this. He says, "It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written." Isn't that? I just think that's great. When the Lord says, you want to have a weapon in your life, how about the Word of God? "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." I like this. It's translated in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword you can carry." Listen, when the devil comes to your door, I don't think a bullet's going to work. I don't think a cross. I don't think garlic. I don't think a silver bullet. I don't think all those things are going to work for the devil. I think the only thing that's going to work for the devil is what Jesus used, and that is to quote the Word of God accurately. And I say accurately because there are some people who go, I think the word's kind of... Listen, I don't want my gun misfiring in that moment, okay? I kind of think because the devil will use Scripture too. And you better know it because he's going to twist it on you. And I find people that come up to me and they say, "Well, I think the Bible says this." I say, "Where did you come up with that?" "Well, so-and-so said such and such, and I think I read it somewhere once." I said, "Well, you need to go into the Word of God and you need to translate the Word of God." So here's the A. It's the authority of God's Word. Listen, I know this. I come into alignment with the Word of God. There is nothing on this earth that is greater than the author or the authority, which means it's the sovereign power. There's nothing greater. There's nothing that can change it. There's nothing more powerful. Everything comes under its submission. Everything in here is true. Not one word will ever disappear from this book until heaven and earth disappear. It is the author and the perfecter of my faith. It is the Word of God. That ought to mean something to you. And people go, "I don't even know where my Bible is." Folks, come on. You don't know where your Bible is. I guarantee you, you're struggling in your faith because you're not in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word." Verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light to my path. It is the power of God unto salvation." Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." See, you need to know the word so you can quote the word. That way when the devil or the temptation or the wilderness or the sickness or the disease or the whatever it is comes up in your life, I'm just going to agree with God. How's that? Who are you going to agree with? "Well, I'm going to agree with the weatherman." Oh my goodness. Good luck with that one. Those poor guys, I feel sorry for them, billions of dollars that they've spent. I don't have to spend a penny. The Lord Jesus Christ has given me 66 love letters from Genesis to Exodus to Leviticus, all the way on down through Revelation. He's given me 66 books by 45 different authors that give me the Word of God that in all of time have never changed, have never gone away, have never been unfaithful to those who would follow and dive into the vast ocean of God's truth. I love the Word of God. It is all-consuming, it is all-powerful, it is all-changing, it is everlasting, it is indestructible. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I have what it says I have. Today I will be taught by the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. See, when we talk about this Word of God, it is the Word of God. I don't know what we're trusting in. Please don't trust into the pastor. Please don't trust into the name that's over the building. Please don't trust into a board. You need to trust into the Word of God. I will fail you. The church will fail you. Your friends will fail you. Your family will fail you. But the Word of God can never fail you. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one stroke, not the least dot, not the least iota, which is the smallest of the Greek letters, will pass away. Everything in this Word is true. We have got to get a heart and a passion to be all-consuming in the Word of God. I do not want to be led. I'm going to be a fat Christian, so I'm going to follow the Spirit, not the flesh. I'm going to use the authority of God's Word. That's the A. I will use the authority of God's Word. You know, Jesus, it's amazing. The devil comes to him. I've been hungry for about 3 days, okay? I've never done a 40-day fast. I have one friend that's done that in his life. 40 days without eating. Students, 40 days. Guys, 40 days with no food. 40. Not 4 hours. 40 days. I'm telling you, I'm getting hungry preaching. 40 days. He's out there, he's hungry. The devil comes to him. He's got to be tired. Guys, you ever been up too late? Your kids ever not sleep and they start getting crabby and grumpy? Ladies, your husband, you know what I'm talking about? He hasn't eaten. He's been up too late. And you just send him in the other room saying, you know what? You just need to go away right now. The devil comes to him and just hits him and hits him and hits him and hits him. And I love it. Jesus didn't in that moment go, oh, I wonder what scripture I could pull up. What should I do? What should I do? He had been trained his entire life since he was a child. And by the way, Wednesday nights and Sunday morning, we got great kids training. We got great youth training. We got great adult classes. We got great home groups. We are training people in the Word of God, in the Word of God. And you know what? The devil came and says, you hungry? He says, hey, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil comes to him again and says, see all these kingdoms? I got to tell you something. He starts showing me about $5 billion and said, sin. I'm done. Now, you can all get righteous and say, oh, I wouldn't sin if he offered me $5 billion. Yeah, okay. He hasn't offered me $5 billion because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man, but God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can handle. I couldn't handle $5 billion. I couldn't handle $5 million. I don't know if I can handle $5,000. That's just not a good idea with me. Fat Tuesday. I can handle Fat Tuesday. There's other things I can't, but you know what? He was so familiar with the Word of God. I want to encourage you, get so familiar with God. You don't have to think about it. I mean, scriptures just come. People say, hey, how long have you been memorizing the scripture? Yesterday, the day before. Well, you've been a pastor how long? I mean, you're a pastor. Listen, folks, you can memorize scripture. You can be 80 years old and memorizing scripture. It's not that hard. Trust me. Trust me. Now, sit right back and hear a tale of a faithful trip that started on this tropic board aboard this. How do you know that? Because you heard it sung over and over. It's a story of a lovely lady who was... Stop it. Put your hands up. They're playing our song. Butterflies, fly away. You know it. You don't like it, but you know it. At least you say you don't. We hear these songs and these things over. You can learn the Word of God. You can get it so familiar, you don't even have to think about it. You can start doing it. I'll do that every so often. I'll just start singing a song quietly just to see if the people in the crowd, without them even knowing it, pretty soon somebody will say, you know, I got this song stuck in my head. And I don't know why. And it's there all day long now. This afternoon, you're going to be sitting around thinking about Gilligan and the Skipper. Some of you. The rest of you, just let it go. Just let it go. I was driving home one day, and I was supposed to go to Staples. I was on my way to Staples. I was working. Got the music going. The next thing I know, I'm in my driveway with my car going, it's 2 in the afternoon. Why am I in my driveway? Because it's the route that kind of goes towards my house. I'm sitting there going, I'm supposed to be at Staples. I've done that more than once. I'll drive to my driveway and I'll be sitting there thinking, what was I doing? I'm not supposed to be here. I've gone home so many times that route that I'll leave the office here, and most of the stuff I have to do on the north end, it's very dangerous that I may not get to my route. I may end up sitting in my driveway listening to a song going, Oh, I was actually supposed to go have lunch with someone. I'm late. I've done that. Why? Because I've gone home so many times without thinking about it, I will naturally go there. Listen, I've been in the Word and been with God so much that oftentimes I'll find myself at home with Him. God is so good to me. I'll find myself sitting in His presence just talking about Him. A scripture will just come to my mind. I'll say, thank you, God. Where did that come from? He goes, you're just home. It's just natural. It's just where you go naturally because you spend so much time here. You can't go there if you don't spend time there. Let me close it up this way. The last thing, that's the authority of God's Word. Go home. Not yet. And that's the T. If you're going to be a fat Christian, there's one verse I want you to take a look at. You could even underline this. We didn't have it read, but it's in Luke chapter 4. It's in verse 14. After the devil had left him, it says this, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Everyone say, power of the Spirit. I don't know about you, that's where I want to live my life. I want to live in the power of God's Spirit. The alternative is to not have power in your life, okay? That's the alternative. And I want to go in the power of the Spirit. This is what God's plan was for Jesus. When God led him in the wilderness and he used the authority of God's Word, he was tested by fire. And I believe that God wants to test you and I by fire because the strongest steel is made with the hottest fire. Let me say that again. The strongest steel is made with the hottest fire. God wants to burn all the stuff out of our lives. That's not him. Most people don't like fire. It hurts. Have you ever had something purged out of your life? It doesn't feel good. Well, I said earlier, I don't think I would do well. And I know I wouldn't do well. Let me just say this. I don't think I would do well with Jesus' temptations. The Lord was offered all the kingdoms of the earth. What would it take for the devil to get you to sin? I guarantee you, he wouldn't have to offer me the kingdoms of the world. I'd probably just bow somewhere. And I'm just being honest. I don't know. I'm not in that situation, but I would think about 5 billion, 50 billion. What would it take for you to bow your knee? You know what's amazing? The devil's not offering you $50 billion to bow your knee. And I'll say it this way. It's amazing how easily Christians sin. And he's offering them about $2.50 and a Slurpee. How hard is it for the devil to get you to sin? Sometimes he doesn't even have to really do anything. I think I just help him. And afterwards I'm like, really? Was it really that easy to get me to do that? Have I really, Lord? How are they going to see Jesus in me if I cash in for a Slurpee? He offered you the kingdom of the world everything and you didn't bow down. Gosh. Ugh. Sin, it just seems to just grab us. And I say, God, light me on fire. Test me with fire. Burn down everything from here to here that's not you. And oh, let all that remains is Christ. Let people see your love. Here it is, folks. Where the rubber meets the road, the Lord says, pray this prayer, lead us not into temptation. Then guess what? If you're going to be a fat Christian, if you're going to overcome, you got to say, God, consume me with your fire so that all that's left is Jesus Christ. I remember hearing a story a long time ago. I lived in Iowa, and the news, we'd get the Minneapolis news radio station. We're only a few hours away from Minneapolis there. And I remember hearing one day the traffic report. The problem was it wasn't rush hour, and they said this one particular two-lane highway that ran into town was absolutely backed up for miles and miles. Avoid that road. And I'm thinking, what went on? It wasn't an accident. What had happened was a church had caught fire that night, the night before, and burned to the ground. This old, old, beautiful, beautiful church with the stained glass windows and all the beautiful bells and the whistles. It was an absolutely gorgeous church. Someone had lit fire to it. It burned to the ground, and everybody wanted to come out and see it. Not because the church, which, by the way, not many people attended. It was a beautiful church, though. It was just kind of dying, but somebody had lit it on fire. And all the stained glass and all the rubble, what was amazing about it is in the front of the church, there was this incredible, beautiful, sculptured portrait, this incredible thing of Jesus standing there with his arms open. And what happened is the entire church was destroyed. Except that statue. And everybody heard about it, and they were driving out from the city to see Jesus. Isn't it amazing that it took the church getting on fire before the world could see Jesus? Maybe we need to have God just take us into a wilderness and just test us with fire. Maybe that's what God wants to do in our lives, for us to overcome. If I'm going to overcome, this Tuesday, I'm going to give it a try. I'm not going to eat a punch. Well, no, I may eat a punchki on Tuesday. But I am going to do this. Come Wednesday, I'm not a religious person, so this isn't about my religion. I just want to know if I could do it. There's a couple things in my life I'm going to try for 40 days because I want to be led by the Spirit. So I'm going to try a couple things. I want to make sure that I'm in the authority of God's Word. I'm about to go into a wilderness because in my life, this Tuesday, I'm going to do something that's eluded me for years. I've shared it from the pulpit, and many of you know my failures, my shortcomings. I failed at this over and over. I'm going to stop drinking pop from Speedway. It sounds silly. They might end up closing the store down here. Because of all my cash flow, I'm down there, my 44 ounces twice a day. Easy. Oh, hey, are you judging me? There were stones in your hands. We talked to you. Go back and listen to last week's sermon again. Forgive others their debts. Yeah, okay, 88 ounces of pure nitro carbo. Get me up and get me going through the day. That's mine. Yep. I've tried for a couple years. So this Wednesday. Now, some of you, and I can relate to this, my father was in that situation, my mother smoking for 50 years. Some of you, maybe it's your tongue, maybe some of you it's, whatever it is, listen, that's between you and the Lord. There are three things I'm looking to do. I won't tell you the other two because that's between me and the Lord. But my nemesis, I told you. As silly as that might sound to you, every time I want to do that, I'm going to go to the Lord, take that time, and I'm going to pray, get into the authority of His Word, and that may not sound like much to you, but trust me, this body's going to cry out come day one for that 44-ouncer, and those of you that know me know exactly what I'm talking about. Because for me, it's just a way of saying, God, I just want more. I'm fat, and I want to be fatter, because Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what I want to be thirsty for. And so that's what I'm doing. Because I don't feel like I'm that thirsty right now. I think I'm comfortable, and I want to be thirsty. I invite you not to have the same thirst I have. But will you join me becoming a fatter Christian, if you'll allow me? Can we? Can we follow the Spirit? Can we take the authority of the Word? And can we get lit by being tested by fire? Let's stand and pray.